This is episode 164 of the Nursing Home Abuse Podcast. Can you sue a nursing home for UTIs?
The Nursing Home Abuse Podcast is dedicated to providing news and information for families whose loved ones have been injured in a nursing home. Here are your hosts, Georgia attorneys Rob Schenck and Will Smith.
Hello out there. Welcome back to the podcast. My name is Rob. I'm going to be your host for this episode. Lots of great information this week. Before we get into that, I've got a request. If you are enjoying the content of the Nursing Home Abuse Podcast, then please be sure to like and subscribe wherever you get your podcast from. If you're watching it this episode on YouTube, then be sure to leave a comment. Let us know how we're doing. If you have any suggestions for content or something that you want to see covered on the Nursing Home Abuse Podcast in the future, please let us know. We'd love to hear from you. So today on the podcast, we're dealing with urinary tract infections, which is a common occurrence in nursing homes. But the $64,000 question is, can you sue a nursing home for UTI? Whether or not you can sue a nursing home for UTIs. Oh, we can hear that thunder. Wow, it's a rainy night in Georgia. Okay, so whether or not you can sue a nursing home for UTIs will depend on whether or not that UTI is avoidable or unavoidable. And that is a term of art that is laid out in the federal regulations. So a UTI is unavoidable, meaning there is the nursing home is not liable if the nursing home assessed that resident in a comprehensive assessment for their risk of UTI. If the nursing home, based on that assessment, develops a care plan with appropriate interventions, meaning treatments or types of care tailored to that specific resident's risk of UTI. And then if the nursing home updates and monitors that care plan. So if a UTI develops, even though the nursing home has assessed the resident, has developed a care plan, and has revised that care plan, then that UTI is unavoidable. It's unavoidable. An avoidable UTI is when the nursing home has failed to do any one of those three steps: assess, develop a care plan, revise the care plan. So the question of whether or not you can sue for a UTI is whether the UTI was avoidable or unavoidable. That's the brass tacks of a UTI case. So that makes sense. Okay, so what are some then specific things that the nursing home should do to prevent UTIs, to prevent avoidable pressure ulcers, aside from correct assessments, care plans, and revising the care plan? So essentially, what's the nitty gritty? Well, a few of the principal components of preventing UTI is having proper infection control protocols in the nursing home. So a nursing home should have policies and procedures and train their staff on hand hygiene, on catheter hygiene, on, you know, what's the hand hygiene and sanitation protocols for changing a catheter in a resident. These type of things. So an overall emphasis on confronting infection before it starts. Incontinent care, proper training by the nursing home with regard to how to provide incontinent care in residents, because unfortunately, those incontinent of bowel or bladder have a higher likelihood of getting UTI. So being able to get in there and making sure that the activities of daily living, including toileting, are done correctly, that can go a long way towards preventing UTIs. So if there's evidence the nursing home doesn't do that, then that UTI that results is probably going to be considered avoidable, not unavoidable. And regular rounding, I think, is something that's often overlooked. So for residents that are not mobile, residents that need assistance in toileting, if they're not regularly watched out for, and therefore they have incontinent episodes, or they're having to hold their urine for a long time, that increases the likelihood of UTIs. So making sure the nursing staff understands the importance of rounding and then effectuating that rounding protocol, that can go a long way as well towards preventing UTIs. So understanding avoidable and unavoidable, understanding that nursing homes can have specific strategies to prevent UTIs, these are core concepts to suing a nursing home for that injury. So what are some of the signs of UTIs? And the reason why that's important is because we have cases, again, a case can arise if the nursing home, if the UTI is avoidable, meaning they were negligent in causing the UTI. But sometimes the UTI, even if it's unavoidable, okay, even though the nursing home did everything they could, sometimes there's a case because the nursing home fails to recognize the sign of infection early on. And by failing to recognize the signs of infection early on, it makes the injury worse. So in other words, if the nursing home staff is not trained on the signs and symptoms of infection, so for example, altered mental status, increased respirations, blood pressure, heart rate, these type of things, if left unnoticed, then sepsis and septic shock can develop, complications can develop, and that can actually be, you know, obviously far worse than just having a UTI. So there are UTI cases, or those that start as UTIs that develop into sepsis and septic shock, where the negligence occurs after the UTI has developed. So again, like I said, so sometimes those cases, the negligence is that the UTI developed at all, plus the sepsis or septic shock and not observing the early signs, or just not recognizing the signs of sepsis and the injuries that occur as a result of that. So there are several symptoms of UTIs. And again, the nursing home staff should be on the lookout for these, should be trained to be on the lookout for these in residents, particularly those with a history of UTIs. But the more common symptoms of UTI includes fever, complaints of burning during urination, increased urgency to urinate, pelvic pain or tenderness in the pelvic area. One of the telltale signs is foul smelling or darker colored urine. That is definitely a red flag for many, many things. But seeing dark urine in combination with any of those others is a pretty good indication there is, in fact, a UTI. As I mentioned before, declining mental status is a sign of UTI. And then, of course, if labs are sent off and come back with abnormal results, that is your pretty much a dead giveaway of a UTI. So in a typical UTI lawsuit, what are the types of recovery that you would be entitled to in a UTI lawsuit if you sue that nursing home? So typically, there will be two buckets. The first bucket is what we in Georgia we call special damages. The second bucket is general damages. In that first bucket, the special damages is kind of the things that have receipts, medical bills, if the person has passed, the funeral costs, that type of thing. And so, for example, if the resident goes to the hospital, maybe to the intensive care unit, then whatever the cost of that stay at the hospital is, that's what they would be entitled to for, you would be entitled to for compensation. And that's in spite of the fact, or despite the fact, that maybe Medicare or Medicaid paid for it. Typically, that the evidence of Medicare or Medicaid or insurance is not allowable in a typical case. And if the medical bill is $100,000, then you're authorized to ask the jury for that $100,000, even though the resident didn't come out of pocket for that. And we can talk about that in another episode. But again, medical expenses are going to be in one of the buckets of damages or compensation for a UTI case. The other type of damages, the money damages that you would be able to get in a UTI case would be general damages in Georgia, which we call pain and suffering. So pain and suffering itself has many factors, not literally just the actual pain that you're going through, but also how the injury has affected your life moving forward, and how you're having to deal with that going forward as well. if the resident has passed away due to UTI, then next of kin, like spouse or children, have a claim for wrongful death, which has its own compensation scheme, its own recovery scheme based on other elements. But typically UTI cases, you're going to get medical bills and you're going to make a claim for pain and suffering as a result of that UTI. If you want to learn more about UTIs and suing a nursing home for UTIs, then there's a couple of other episodes that go more into depth. In episode 87, we had a guest, Dr. Jennifer Meddings, and we talked about catheter-associated UTIs and the lawsuits that are resulting from that. In episodes 98, we dealt with more of the liability issue with nursing homes and UTIs. And in episode 143, we had Richard Mollett on talking about infection control protocols. So again, failure to have an adequate infection control protocol in a nursing home could be the basis for a UTI case. So I would recommend you go check those out if you want to learn more about UTIs. But that's going to conclude the content of this particular episode. Short and to the point episode this week. If you are enjoying the content, please be sure to like and subscribe. If you're watching on YouTube, be sure to leave a comment. Let us know how we're doing. And with that, we'll see you next time.
Thanks for tuning in to the Nursing Home Abuse Podcast. Nothing said on this podcast, either by the host or the guest, should be construed as legal advice, nor is intended to create an attorney-client relationship between the host or their guest and the listener. New episodes are available every Monday on Spotify, iTunes, Stitcher, or on your favorite podcast app, as well as on YouTube and our website, nursinghomeabusepodcast.com. Again, that's nursinghomeabusepodcast.com. See you next time.